Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Quick question for you. Maybe I'm even going to ask you to raise your hands. No, I'm not going to ask you to do that. Who read all of Luke this week? Did you do that? Good. Good. Well, I hope you did. If you didn't, I'm going to encourage you again this week to do that. Read through all of Luke. If you can at one sitting, if not at one sitting, that's fine. But do it so you see the whole story. Now, that's the book of Luke. But today, the Old Testament lesson and the gospel lesson combine to make for some very vivid and compelling reasons to trust to God. In both of these reports, from the Old Testament and the New Testament, you have people who are dead and then made alive again. Now, I want you to keep your worship folders open to the Old Testament and the gospel lesson. It's kind of be like a ping pong match or a tennis match here for a few minutes. Going to go back and forth between the two of them. Starting in the Old Testament lesson. In the Old Testament lesson, you have a son who dies of sickness. We're also told in verse 20 that the mother of this boy is a widow. You have action taken by a man of God because of the grief expressed by this widow. And the result of his action is that the boy lives again. Now, look in the gospel lesson. Again, you have a dead son being mourned by, again, his widowed mother. Now here, the dead boy is being carried out of town, and his grieving mother follows along. Jesus sees her grief and addresses her with just two words: don't cry. And then he takes action. Based on his compassion for her, he revives this boy. The compassion of God, expressed by earthly action, is key in both of these lessons. Compare these accounts. Both boys are gone from this life. Both have left mothers behind to grieve for them. Both of these women are widows. They have no other man in their lives to help, no one else to support or to provide for them. And that's important in both of these cases. Families back then were your social security. They looked after you in your old age and were there to support you. Now, a woman especially was vulnerable when she was left without a husband or a son because of the way society worked back then regarding the ownership of property. In both of these accounts, the boys were all that the women had. And both tell of these sons being made alive again in God's compassion. These were dead sons, and they live again. Can there be anything more compelling than the dead being brought back to life again? In these cases, it solves so many problems. There's no more separation or loneliness. There's no sorrow. There's no grief. And for the widows, like we talked about, it meant security as well. In fact, these dead being raised to life again is a cause of rejoicing and celebration. It is the occasion of occasions. One last thing, though, about these two cases is this. Both of these boys later had to die again. But today, in our reading, they were both given life again. However, they were not given a new life. They were not resurrected in the fashion of that Christ was. They were resuscitated. Jesus promises his followers resurrection life, not mere resuscitation. That's important. And we're going to turn now and focus strictly on the gospel lesson. What Jesus gives the boy from Nain is resuscitation in this world. But he gives it to him after the manner by which Jesus gives us resurrection life. He gives it by his will alone. Look in the story, all right? And I want you to tell me something. What does the boy do to help Jesus? What? That's right. He did nothing. He did absolutely nothing. The boy doesn't ask for it. The boy does nothing to help with it. The boy does nothing to cooperate with Jesus. However, it is the boy's choice how he lives his life now after it is restored to him. Jesus gives him life again on this earth, but how that boy lives that life from then on, now that is the boy's responsibility. Now, we're going to come back around to our responsibility to live our lives now in the gift that Jesus gives us of resurrection life, but we'll come back to that. But in the story, one of the things you'd expect is that the boy would now look after the mother who wept for him. Her security, as we said, is only in what that boy could provide. Now, this is not unlike Jesus' own mother, Mary. Jesus addressed her earthly security needs even as he was dying on the cross. That's why in John's gospel we're told in verses 25 through 27 of chapter 19. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Now, I want you to stop here a moment, and I want you to think about this act of love for his mother that Jesus does. Isn't it interesting that though he knows that he is coming back to life, resurrection life, he knew that it was not life of the same nature of this world that he was coming back to. And that's different than the son of the widow of Nain in today's gospel lesson that Jesus resuscitated. Jesus knew that after his resurrection and ascension, his mother would still need care in this world. And that's why he assigned John to look after her. Jesus was making plans for his own mother, for her needed future here on earth. And he was doing that as he was also fulfilling the plan for her eternal future by going to that cross and dying for her sins and for the sins of this widow's boy and for your sins and my sins. Jesus' resurrection life is life that is of a different nature than before. His resurrected life is what Jesus has promised, has gifted to each one of his followers. And that's what we have, both now and what we are looking forward to. Resurrection life, then, will be a life that is free of sin, then, and free of the restraints that this world has put on us now. Jesus' death on the cross is what paid the debt for all sin for all time. His resurrection following his death is what guarantees to all who believe in his name life forever with him. That resurrection life is not what he gave the widow's son on this day, however. What this boy received was resuscitation to earthly life. Now, I have little doubt that the boy and his mother both became believers in Jesus. I could be wrong, but I don't think so. After all, with this experience that they had, when Jesus rose from the dead, I'm sure their leap of faith to believe that Jesus was truly resurrected from the dead was not as difficult as it would have been for others. After all, they had experienced this boy's return to life, just like Mary's boy returned to life. At the word and by the compassion of Jesus, this boy was resuscitated. But they, like us, would have had to learn the difference between resurrection and resuscitation, though their learning curve probably was a little bit less than yours or mine. Now, bringing this boy to life again in the gospel lesson today also points up another thing about Jesus and death. Death simply loses out to life. Jesus is what? He is the... Say it again.
The way.
The way, the truth, and the life. The life. And here at the city gate of Nain, Jesus proves that he, Jesus, is life. And he wins. Always. There are three deaths that Jesus encounters in the gospel lessons throughout his earthly ministry. And he interrupts every one of them with life. Death, other than his own, is not tolerated by Jesus. It can't be tolerated because he's the creator and sustainer of all life. And now death has no part in Jesus now that he has conquered it by his own defeat of it through his resurrection. In the text from last week, Jesus heals the centurion's slave, and Jesus never even went to that person. The centurion gave evidence of faith in Jesus' authority to heal and save by his what? His words and works. Words and works. The point is that faith in Jesus' power over death is always, always vindicated in Scripture. Remember in the conversation with Mary and Martha regarding Lazarus, they talked about death and resurrection, and Mary says that she believes her brother will rise in the resurrection to come. And Jesus tells her what? That's right. Read this with me. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. That's important to remember. That the life Jesus returned to Lazarus like this boy today was earthly life, not resurrection life that follows Jesus' victory over death. Resurrection life is a different thing. Jesus is the firstborn of the dead, so Paul tells us in Colossians 1:18. Jesus is the firstborn from, it says, from the dead. He's the one who breaks the power of death, and so he's the one who defeats death. In his defeat of death, Jesus overcomes sin, which brought death into this world in the first place by our disobedience in the Garden of Eden. And when that disobedience happened, on that very day, God promised that he would defeat death for us. When you look in Genesis 3:15, God gives the first promise of death's demise. God says to the serpent, I will put enmity between your seed and her seed, and you will bruise his heel, and he will crush your head. The offspring of Eve, Jesus, crushed the one who tempted mankind, and so brought death into God's creation. Jesus crushed death. Death came through the sin of man in the Garden of Eden. And from the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus went forth to fulfill the promise God made to Eve in the garden. Jesus went from Gethsemane to the cross. And in rising from a garden tomb, Jesus defeated death. And because of his power over life and death, he chose in today's gospel lesson to raise up this widow's only son. So let's return back around now to the point that we said we would, about how we live now as a result of the resurrection life that's now ours in Jesus Christ, and that part being up to us. What we do with our new life, all our earthly days, that's in our power to control. That's our God-given responsibility. It is in your power to live your life seeking to do God's will alone. That is your choice. However, what is not your choice is like the boy in Nain. The boy had no part in his own return to life. The boy was resuscitated by Jesus' choosing alone. Jesus does the same thing for us. We don't raise a hand and ask Jesus to take it and give us resurrection life. No, Jesus comes. He comes down. He reaches down in his love, and he takes hold of us. And he grants us the promise of new life in him. We are not promised mere resuscitation, but resurrection life with Christ. Jesus today doesn't wait for the boy to ask for anything. And Jesus didn't wait for us to act to give us his promise of new life. He acts first. Jesus is the prime mover. He is the first cause. Our salvation is not dependent in any way upon our action. If it was, we'd be without hope. After all, it is our action, the action of mankind, that brought death to creation in the first place. In fact, we're told by St. Paul that we are dead. We are dead in our sins and trespasses, just like that widow's son. So we can do nothing to help ourselves. People like to say, well, you have to make a choice. However, your only choice is the choice of death. If you reject what Christ did on the cross in his victory over death, you're saying that you prefer death. You prefer your own death in sin rather than the resurrection life that Jesus offers in his name. So, yes, you do choose. But your choice is how you respond to Jesus' gift. And that's not what caused Jesus to offer you or I salvation. You didn't choose for Christ to go to the cross. But you can choose to reject his victory there. That victory that he promises you. We're the ones with the opportunity to let others know what Jesus did for this widow's son and what Jesus has done for us all. Remember, we said at the outset that the compassion of God expressed by earthly action is key in today's lessons. That same compassion is the gospel. And what is it that we say here about the gospel? We're the ones who are hearing, sharing, and living the gospel. Like this boy had the responsibility to live his resuscitated life well and caring for his family, so we too share his responsibility. We also live, so that others may come to trust in the resurrection life that Jesus chooses to give all who will believe in his name. In that all-powerful name we pray. Amen.